by the word that we brought forth, Lord, I pray that we have the openness to receive it, Lord. Lord, I just pray for each of our needs that they be met.
Amen. All right. Well, I've been teaching on the resurrection, the rapture, and we're going to go into that some more this morning. 1 Corinthians 15, and you can be going to verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now, that word first fruits becomes important in your Bible because under the law of God, whenever Israel came into the land, whenever they got the first fruits of something, they were to bring the first fruits to the priest. That belonged to him. And the priest would look, he'd bless it, and then the expectation was that God would bless the rest of the crop. When the first time Israel went into the land, Moses sent 12 men. And my kids learned a song when they were little how that 12 went in, 10 were bad, 2 were good, all right? But what they brought out was the grapes of Eshcol, which that bunch of grapes was so heavy that 2 men had to carry it on a pole, almost like you're carrying a dead animal, that huge thing of grapes. And they carried it out like that and brought it out. What did Israel do with their first fruits? They hated it. They rejected that first fruits. They cried and said to the Lord, you're sending us in there. You're doing this against us, okay? And rejected it. Jesus Christ is the first fruits of them that slept. What did Israel do with him? Exactly what they did with the grapes of Eshcol, okay? Exactly the same thing. But it says he's the first fruits of them that slept, all right? And that means there's another crop coming. There's more to it. You know, it's June now, and slowly certain crops will begin to come in, and there's nothing like it. Now, the first person who can get corn by the side of the road doesn't cheat and, you know, going down into southern Pennsylvania or something, but actually grows their own corn and puts it there. They can charge about anything for a dozen ear of corn. They charge about anything for it. People buy that. Boy, they want that. About 2 weeks later, everybody has corn and it's down to $1.50 a dozen or something like that or whatever else. But that first fruits, that first little bit of it there, whoever can get that in first, oh my God, and there's nothing like that first corn on the cob, all right? And again, we heard a story of ultimate grace where the Haynes have been eating corn differently for all those years and stayed together. All right, if you were in Sunday school, you heard that story, all right? All right, so the thing is, that first fruits of them that slept. Verse 21, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. How did death come? Came through Adam, okay? So God said, all right, man, you brought it in. By man, we're going to have the resurrection of the dead. Well, who was that? Jesus Christ. Now, other people had resurrected prior to Jesus Christ. But they died again. Lazarus, okay? If you remember, when Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom, the rich man said, hey, send him back. My brothers, let them tell my brothers. What happened when Lazarus came back? What did the brothers do? They wanted to kill him again. All right, that's all they wanted to do, all right? And so people were raised again, but they died again. But Jesus Christ, when he raised, testified in the book of Revelation, I am alive forevermore, never to die again, all right? Try have an insurance, life insurance salesman sit down and try to explain to him why he needs life insurance. He'll laugh at you. Well, you're going to die sometime, not me. I'm alive forevermore, all right? All right. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. We have one thing in common. We were all born from Adam, okay? And again, you mothers know this. I say this ad nauseum. I say this over and over and over again. But you don't need to teach a child to lie. You have to teach a child to tell the truth. You don't have to teach a child to disrespect his parents. You have to teach them to respect their parents. You don't have to teach a child to steal. You have to teach them to respect other people's property. Okay? Why? They're born of Adam. That's a big stumbling point to the Muslims because they have the Roman Catholic idea of original sin in their mind. The Roman Catholic idea of original sin is that we're all born and guilty of Adam's sin. And that's why they baptize the babies, to get that Adam sin off of them, okay? Let me tell you something. Anybody who ever had a baby sprinkled, did they quit lying? All right? They quit tooting their drawers? No, that didn't do a thing, all right? Didn't get rid of Adam's nature when they did that, all right? The point is, to original sin, it's not that suddenly you were born with this awful thing and it's over you like the Roman Catholics teach and the Muslims hate. It's the idea you got his nature, all right? You got his nature. And that's not a good nature, all right? It's caused you jealousy and miseries and hatreds and variances and all these awful things. And so in Christ, shall all be made alive. And that's why Nicodemus was told, you need to be born again. That first birth just got you into trouble. You need another birth from within that'll change you. I was talking to Thaddeus Kuntz yesterday. I said, one of the things that's odd with me, I guess with most preachers, is I just don't get excited about testimonies of salvation. And I don't. I get excited about evidence of the new birth. I get excited when I see evidence of a new creature inside of a person. I get excited when I see that evidence that there's that new nature operating within them. And there's nothing more disappointing to me than people who make professions and you never see that evidence of the new nature in them. That's disappointing. It'd be like having a baby that's dead and it's in the crib and you go, well, it was born. But it never moves its hands, it never moves its feet. It never blinks its eyes, it never grows, it never does anything, okay? I love it. And one of the beauties is, when people get saved, I never see the same evidence out of any two people. I never do. They're all different. But yet, when they get saved, I'll see an evidence. You know, one man will say, boy, when I got saved, those cigarettes went down. I never touched them again. Then you see another one, took him 3-4 years to get rid of his cigarettes. All right? You have another one. Boy, when I got saved, I never cussed again. Would God I could say that. All right? each person is different. What I have found is when a person gets saved, an individual will get some victory somewhere over something they never thought they could get a victory over. It's stunning to them. But then they'll also be left with Canaanites in the land to trouble them. All right, what do you mean by that? They'll be left with old habits and nasty things that might take years for God to purge out of their lives, okay? But that's where God then takes that over and does that. And I love that process. I adore it. It's one of the richest and most wonderful things for me when I see that process going on in people's lives. And I give anything for that. I just love to see that in people's lives. Okay, now, verse 23, talking about resurrection again, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. What is that? That's what we call the rapture, okay? When Christ at his coming, he comes, he doesn't come all the way down to the earth, he just comes in the clouds. He toots the horn. The dead in Christ rise first, okay? Then we which are alive meet them together in the air. Now that's what the Bible says over and over again, right? This is what John the Baptist was talking about when he said to the Pharisees, who told thee to flee from the wrath to come? There's a wrath coming to this earth. I think most of you can see it's kind of building, all right? And it's not good what's building. It's just more evil every day. That's why the Apostle Paul said, evil men shall wax worse and worse. All right? Vile what's going on. Vile the things that are going on. Vile the things that are happening. And just to give you an idea, I posted it on Facebook and I had like one reaction to it. If I put a picture, I get 1,000 reactions. If I put some reactions, I have to read. Very few people ever read it. But, but you know, the thing is, a new medical study done looking at all the people who've had these cross chain sex surgeries. It's done by one of the most advanced scientific medical journals and said they do zero good. They do not cure the mental illness the people have. But once they've had them, they have 19 times the suicide rate of people who haven't had the surgery.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? And yet there's been children who, because of confusion at 14 or 15, when they just needed counseling, were put through that. Okay? And some of those children now are turning around suing those doctors as 18, 19-year-olds. Yeah. Girls have had radical mastectomies. Boys have been castrated, this kind of thing, and realizing, oh, my goodness, you know, mom and dad were divorcing, and, you know, my big brother molested me for a while. I was all confused and told my teachers, and they did this to me, okay? And that's called science today, all right? And it's just a grievous, vile thing, all right? And the evil men shall wax worse and worse. And so God, the day will come when God destroys this earth as we know it, okay? And it's done in lurches. It's done in sections of time and such. But God has promised that there is a resurrection that Jesus Christ has before the ultimate wrath is poured out on this earth, okay? Those that are Christ at his coming, all right? That he raises them up and they go up with him in the air, all right? All right, verse 24, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put his enemies under his feet. So the day is going to come once the book of Revelation is over and once the millennium's over and everything else, Jesus Christ, who subdued all things unto him, every star obeys him, every plant in the field obeys him, every creature on earth obeys him, everybody's subjected to him, he gives the kingdom back to the Father. Now we're going to jump ahead to get into some what we call mechanics, all right, of how this is done. Let's go to verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Those are good questions. How are the dead raised up? What kind of body are they going to have, all right? For example, Jehovah's Witnesses teach that when Jesus Christ raised from the dead, he just came up as a gas, all right? And, you know, and what John say? If they confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, okay, they're not of God. Okay, they're not of God. But they teach that when he rose, it was just a gas. Right? That's how he flowed through walls and that kind of thing or whatever else. But going on, it says this. Verse 36, thou fool. Well, I said it was a good question. Paul said I was a fool. All right. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. Now he's going to give you an example. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. Why would we plant things in the ground if we didn't expect them to change? Okay. We take that little, you know, slice of potato. We take a little seed from corn. We take a little, you know, bit of the wheat or something. We put it in the ground. And what do we expect? We expect it to die and a whole new plant to raise up with far more fruit. That's what we expect. So the Apostle Paul is comparing the resurrection to that. Verse 38, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Okay? And God knows what that is. I remember as a child reading a thing about some pyramids being opened, and one of those pyramids was like 5,000 years old, and they found seeds in it. And they planted them, and they grew. All right? After all those years, and you know, I think every one of us at one time or another opened up a seed, you see that little white meat, and then there's that little dot of green in the middle of it, all right? And that's that thing that's going to grow, and it's going to become that plant or whatever else, okay? And what the Lord's telling you is that he knows that when you die and he puts you in the ground, that little dot of green is life from Jesus Christ, okay? And that's what's going to grow, and that's what's going to be that resurrection, and that's what's going to give you that body, okay? Verse 13, all flesh is not the same flesh. But there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, and there are bodies terrestrial. Celestial being the stars have one kind, the earth has another kind of bodies on it. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another, okay? You know, we look at a peacock, what's its glory? Woo! You know, it goes out like that. You know, what's the glory of a lion, that mane on it and such? What's the glory of a man? His wife, okay? That's the glory of a man, that woman that he has. Some of you have come to me for counseling. You know that I take that real serious. I've had two or three men sit in this office and tell me how awful their wives were. And I love it better when the wife's there when they do it. I love that. Because then I explain to them how that woman is your glory. And you've just taught me a lot about you. All right? You just complain that your glory is bitterness. Your glory is hatred. Your glory is arguing and violence and jealousy. That's your glory. And I said, if I walked up to a rose bush right now, and the rose bush looked healthy, but all the roses are black and wilting and awful, would I say to myself, oh, these buds are up? No, I'd realize something's wrong with the roots. Something's wrong with the stem. Something's wrong with the leaves. Something's wrong here, okay? And when a man comes up and tells me how awful his wife is, he's an idiot. I believe that every time, okay? I believe that wife is the glory of her husband, okay? And I've told him, I said, you know, if you went out in the church today and swapped wives and found another one, in 5 years, that new wife will be just like this one is because she's attached to you. All right? I had one woman come out and say, my whole life, no man ever defended me like that. All right? But you know why I say it? Because I believe it. My Bible says it. The woman's the glory of the man. It was one of the keys to my wife's salvation when one day I looked and the Lord asked me, all right, big boy, what is it about you that your glory has to be hatred? What is it about you that your glory needs to be bitterness? What is it about you that your glory needs to be cursing? And when I began to look at it that way, things changed in my home. Things changed a lot. Okay. So there's one kind of glory of one thing, one kind of glory of another. Verse 41, there is one glory of the sun and another the glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another in glory. Okay, now there's one of those places where the Bible was thousands of years ahead of science. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. You know, there's people out there in the Black Creek graveyard, and with great sorrow we went, we took, we buried them, we put them in the ground. With some, they lay there, they corrupt, okay? They'll raise an incorruption. All right? Verse 43, it is sown in dishonor. What do you mean dishonor? Well, to be honest with you, those people really don't like probably the suit they're in, or the idea they're having to be carried around by all these people, and, you know, dirt thrown upon them and all that kind of thing. It is sown in weakness. Well, it's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body. Now listen here. Because it says spiritual doesn't mean that it's like some gas type of thing. Jesus Christ raised with a spiritual body, but he could eat food. He said, touch me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. But it's a spiritual body in the sense he can walk right through walls. Boom, all right? And go to his father, light years away, and be back again instantaneously, okay? So his body is different. That's a spiritual body. Now, verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. What do you mean made a quickening spirit? When Jesus Christ was born, he said, the Father hath given me that I should give life to men. That's something the Father gave him that. Here you are, this man, Christ Jesus, the Son of God, born of me, in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And the Father made the decisions, what power he should have, what he should do. And one of the things that pleased the Father, that he should be a quickening spirit, that he can give life. Okay, that's one of the things he can do. Verse 46, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Well, how's that for the deity of Jesus Christ? Okay. By the way, go look that up in the new versions. The last time I did, probably 30, 40 years ago, but at that time, the new version just said the second man's from heaven. Left out the fact he's the Lord from heaven. Okay. And I don't know if they all do that today or not. I just remember some 30, 40 years ago looking at that, and they had definitely left that out. All right. Verse 48. As is the earthy, such are they that are earthy. And such is the heavenly, such is they that are heavenly. Okay? In other words, earthy people act like earthy people. Heavenly people act like heavenly people. Boy, isn't that tough to tell, okay? Isn't that tough to know who's who? You know, and I've said this before, one of the greatest compliments I ever saw to any person, Chuck Colson gave to Richard Nixon. And Chuck Colson, who ended up getting saved, born again, wrote a good biography of himself, born again, and did some good things for the Lord and such. But he talks about being a fairly junior person in the White House, not really having regular access to the president. And one day he had something the president had to have. And somebody recognized that and sent him off to the presidential yacht, which was on the Potomac River. And it's one of the most private places a president can have. And he's out there, and he said he walked around the corner, and there's a table set. And Richard Nixon's eating by himself with a suit and a tie on, the table set right, eating politely. And he said, oh, that is the man. That's not something put on. That is the man. That's what he is. By himself, private, not expecting anyone else. That is the man. Okay? What would people say of you? They came up and saw you privately, not expecting it. They see what you are, okay? And that old statement by Bob Jones Sr., that it's what you are in private that what you really are, okay? Not what we see here, okay? So it's just one of those things. He that is of the earth is earthy. He that is of heaven is heavenly. All right. Verse 49, and as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. What does that mean? Well, right now, we got bodies we got after Adam. You got aches and pains? Thank Adam for it, all right? You got physical infirmities and things of that sort and limitations or whatever. You've inherited all that from Adam, all right? All those things are in him, and all those things were in him, and all those things that come out. Every bit of the genetic code spread all over the earth today comes from him and spread out there, all right? I was thinking of that thing that Lillian Carter said. Some of you heard me say this. So Lillian Carter was Jimmy Carter's mother. And she had two sons, Billy and Jimmy. Billy ran a gas station, and when Jimmy got to the presidency, Billy started a beer brand called Billy Beer, all right? And it made a lot of money because his brother's the president. And there's Jimmy Carter, and they asked Lillian Carter, what do you think of your children? She said, the more I look at them, the more I wish I'd remained a virgin. What are you going to say, all right? We get our nature from Adam, all right? And it's not always good. All right. Now, it says in verse 50, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Now, why is that so important there? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, okay? Because the Jehovah Witnesses use that as their key verse, why they know that Jesus raised as gas. See, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's right. He didn't say he had flesh and blood. He said, does the Spirit have flesh and bone? As you see me have, he shed his blood. His blood's in a basin in heaven. All right? Part of the nature you get from Adam is this. The life of your flesh is in your blood. When you get saved, your life is circumcised out of your blood. Your life is hid with Christ in God. It's not in your blood anymore. That's where it's at, okay? It's hid with Christ in God. And you're different. When you resurrect, you will not have blood. You will have flesh, you will have bones. You will not need blood, okay? Flesh and blood doth not inherit the kingdom of God. That's like me putting a unisex bathroom. Men and women can't go in there. Men can go in, women can go in, but you're not going in together. All right? Now, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Famous sign in the nurseries, all right? You've had a baby, you know that, all right? Watched Chelsea yesterday. She's so uncomfortable now and everything else. You realize that baby's the least trouble it's going to be for the next 18 years. you think it's trouble now. All right. But the thing is, we won't all sleep. Not everyone who reads Paul's writings will sleep. In other words, they're not going to die. But everyone will be changed. God has to change what you are. Keep in mind again, if God let you into heaven like you are now, heaven would turn into hell pretty quickly. All right? That's one of the great lessons of mankind. So all the people are changed. He does that, okay? We should not all sleep, but we should all be changed. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now, all this is done in the twinkling of an eye. When you take chemistry, one of the things you find out is what happens when two things are put together in a jar, okay? You put two things together, something's bubbling all over the place, put a Mento in your Coke bottle, it's all pouring out or whatever. Used to be people study chemistry and all that, now they just watch TikTok and see that or whatever. It's the only way they know it. But the point is, what happened inside of there molecularly happened just like that, okay? These electrons went over here, that nucleus went over here, this went over here, these things changed, and they all went back to what they were. All that happens instantly. If God were to break down the rapture, he could spell it all out in minute detail. But for us, it's bam, twinkling of an eye, just like that. But in that, this corruption, the body you have now, the first thing that happens is God adopts it. He takes your physical body, he adopts that body. Okay? That's why it said in Romans, to wit, the adoptions, the redemption, the purchased possession, okay? He adopts it. Now that body, which had no right to heaven, because of its earth, it was coming from Adam, has been adopted by God. It has the right to come to heaven. Then he clothes that body from above with another body. That's what 2 Corinthians 5 is all about. We'll look at that later. He clothes it with another body. When Jesus Christ walked on the road to Emmaus, why didn't they recognize him? Because he has more than one body. Okay? He's clothed with one, he's got another body. Then their eyes open and they recognize who he is. You'll be clothed upon with another body. That body you'll be clothed upon looks exactly like Jesus Christ. Exactly like him. Inside of that will be your body, resurrected and changed. No longer corruptible. Okay? So that if 5,000 years from now you have 10 cities to rule over, and you walk up to those cities, these are people in their natural blood and flesh who have survived, they've gone through the millennium, they've gone through the tribulation, they've gone through those things, they're having children, they're raising them. You walk up, they see Jesus Christ when you walk up. Okay? And you rule over those 10 cities. But yet, my wife and I walk up and I'll see you right through and say, hey, how you doing, babe? And she'll probably tell me I forgot to do the dishes or something like that. But clothed upon from above. Corruption must put on immortality, and it puts that on. Verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And there is a victory. That victory is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That victory is Jesus Christ having defeated death, defeated sin, okay, paid for all sin, and it's taken care of. There's now no longer any reason why you cannot be in heaven, why you cannot live eternally, why you cannot be with God, why you can't be changed, why the corruption and the grief of your life cannot be changed and made over. Okay? The Apostle Paul said this, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. A couple weeks ago, Brother Bruce Ireland preached over at Anchor Baptist Church, one of the best messages I've heard in a very long time. What even made it better is he did it about 20, 25 minutes. And it was hot, late in the day. We'd all eaten. Three people had preached. He says, I'm going to do this in 20, 25 minutes. And my people just loved it. All right? It's one of those, they don't love me because I don't do it 20, 25 minutes, but they loved him. But he just talked about how in Jeremiah's uncle comes to him, and they do a transaction back and forth, and Jeremiah took the proofs of it, the evidence of it, and some of it got sealed. Do we have evidence that's sealed? Yes, sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Okay? Sealed with that. And then it got put into an earthen vessel. Then there were some evidences that were open. Okay? Do we have open evidence? Yeah, you read your Bible, you come to church. That got put into the earthen vessel. And it was just a tremendous message. All right? Showing how those things were done. How God takes all these wonderful things and puts them in an earthen vessel and then assures you that he'll change that vessel. He'll make it different. He's going to resurrect you. Death will be taken care of. All right? Be swallowed up in victory. So shall we be forever with the Lord. Pastor Haynes.